Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Weekly Conversation. I'm your host, Kyle. This week on the conversation, the 50-gallon tub of Vaseline I needed because me and my wife just spent almost 3 hours doing our taxes. Oh, but this country's just going in the great direction. He's our savior. He'll fix everything. That's what some people still believe. Thank God I believe in God and Jesus. Also, a guy went out onto the street and got several people to sign their name to put this man on the ticket with Hillary Clinton. I will explain who it is, and it's scary. I think we need to take the brain and common sense and say their apps, that way people use them. Also, tons of anti-Trump supporters can't come up with one specific thing that they hate about him. Oh, everything. Name one specific thing. They can't. I don't care if you hate Trump. I don't know if I really want him. But at the same time, I could tell you what I like about, you know, someone like Chris Christie, or I could tell you what I didn't like about him. I could tell you what I liked about Marco Rubio and what I didn't like about him. I want to know who I'm voting for. I don't want to have a bunch of idiots that go to vote. Well, I voted for Hillary Clinton. And they can't tell you the running mate. Also, an incredible story of a man that walked into a Utah Denny's. You got to hear this story. And it is heartbreaking. Megyn Kelly, will she leave Fox News when her contract is over? That, and also Bill O'Reilly took a trip down to Cuba. And he explains why he went to Cuba. And it's real. It's what these Sanders people, these Bernie people need to see. Will they listen? Also, music from the 80s that has very, very big meaning. And also, the MLB network is back up and running with the MLB season starting. And boy, I think it's the Cubs year. They are at what are the Cubs now? It's 100 years in rebuilding, and I think this is finally their year. Someone says that every year, but my Tigers are off to 2 games and 2 wins. But hell, they started off last season with 9 straight wins, and then they went in the tank, but then we lost Cabrera and just all that kinds of stuff. So that much more. So welcome to the conversation, folks. And this is something my wife will understand because this is what I believe in. And I have been a constant example of how you can help those in need by working hard. You should remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Acts 20:35. And I try to live my life by that. And, you know, the world would be such a better place if everyone just did for others. And speak of the devil, I want to get into this story because I want to start off with some positive and encouraging things. And if you actually listen to K-Love, which I do once in a while, if I don't listen to K-Love, I do love WASK. It's a great radio station. But every once in a while, I'll put on K-Love, you know, in the morning, and because I love that positive, encouraging story. And Kinkle Fritz, actually one of the people on there, and there's Craig and there's Amy. And Craig is actually going to leave the program to be a permanent missionary in London/England and in the Middle East. And that's takes a lot of faith and a lot of guts. And, you know, and I guess when I'm going across the country, I love the satellite that my wife has in her car, because then you don't have to worry about trying to find the radio station. You know, you can put it on and listen to something. But when I'm at home or I'm at work, I love to hear, whether it's K-Love or WASK, I love to hear the DJ. I grew up listening to the DJ and hearing them complain about this or that, you know. And it's just great. You know, and now with Facebook, you can be friends with them and you can, like, write requests in for the lunch hour. And it's just cool. You know, and I just... to see him actually taking a leap of faith to go to, like, England and the Middle East and be a missionary and help out, that takes a lot of guts. And that's just that's a great thing. But I want to get into this really happy-go-lucky story, because there's a strange guy walks into this Utah Denny's and sits down and spends 2 hours and only spends $21.34, and people kind of look at him weird and stuff. And what he actually spent was over $1,000 paying the bills of families that came and ate. And when he left after the 2 hours, he left a $1,500 tip to the waiter, the lady. And I guess she was going through some very hard times and was in desperate need of money, and that was God. And when he was asked why he did what he did, he said he lost his family and he has no real family anymore. And he understands the value of family, and he wanted to give back to families because he knows how precious a family is, because he has lost that. And that's just, there's no greater gift. To me, I have a 3-year-old niece, Molly, the most beautiful wife in the world. And to me, there's no greater gift than to give to her and just to, you know, to make her day. I mean, even if it's just making scrambled eggs for her with cheese, you know. I have a friend, Wayne Wilkins, that lives in Wilmington, Ohio. And when that factory, I think there was like a factory or something in their hometown that went out, and like, 3/4 of the town, if not more, was out of work. They didn't say, okay, give me government, where are you, Obama? You know, okay, help. No, they said, how are we going to do this? How are we going to come together? And there was a soup pantry, like a food kitchen. And they pray every day in that thing. And it's always full. And there's a room that they dedicated that 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you can go in there and pray. And there's during the daytime, there's always someone there you can go to and talk. And they made national news for what they were doing, because they weren't relying on the government. And there were some rich people that go, here, I want to give. And they donate like a thing so where they can get like 2 or 3 pizzas from this pizzeria every week, you know, for a family and stuff. And they didn't rely on the government. They said, no, we want to do this ourselves. This country was founded on Americans helping Americans. What a concept. Relying on each other. You know, there was a time when, hey, I can't use this crib. Here, you take it. Now it's, let me see what I can get on eBay for it. It's amazing how much stuff, if you go on like the Facebook buy and sell pages, people try to sell stuff that back when I was growing up, you just give it to someone. And there are still people that will give it away, but some people, if they don't know anyone that they can just give it to, they try to get money out of it. It's just ridiculous. And I don't know. I mean, I don't know where my country's gone. And I said this before in the program, I remember growing up, and I got sent to the principal's office one time because I had a KISS shirt on. Because KISS stands for Knights in Satan Service, and ACDC stands for After Christ the Devil Comes. And when you tell people, young kids that have heard their music, they're like, you got to be kidding me. I said, no. And supposedly, if you play Another One Bites the Dust backwards, it supposedly tells you to smoke pot and do cocaine and stuff. And I would love to... that's one thing I think about now. I would love to have seen if they would have done that on Mythbusters, to see if they could prove that those actually were backwards satanic messages or whatever, or, you know, if they could prove that, or if they could actually, if it was a myth or not, or could they actually replicate it? Could they find a way to take words when you say these words, if you play it backwards, it says something. Makes you wonder, because I know Led Zeppelin supposedly had all this stuff, and I'm like, you know, now you talk to some of those people and they laugh at it. Like, really? Like, they really thought that? How, you know, Styx and all that. If you played, like, the song Snowblind, it supposedly was stuff. Well, I want to know who came up with the idea of playing the stuff backwards.
Interesting question.
Yeah. It's probably Tipper Gore. I mean, I don't know. Probably like the Styx song said, someone with too much time on their hand. But anyway, you know, this country has changed. We spent about like 10 days, no, actually about 2.5, 3 hours doing our taxes. And we needed about a 50-gallon tub of Vaseline because, oh, yeah. My wife was going to owe like $650 in fines because she didn't have health care.
Four months.
Well, that was the penalties for the year, but then when you can put in that you have insurance, then they lower it. And one of my friends, he lied about it. He goes, if they come after me, they come after me. I'm not, and it's just ridiculous. And I think it's going to be like, it's going to get worse because it's like $1,300 next year.
We got insurance,
but that's for the whole year if you're out. But then if you have it for, and like the lady that did my taxes, this was her last year, she's getting out of it because of a lot of this crap. But she's like as soon as if you lose a job, you need to try to find health care. But the problem is like some of those plans are like $200, $299 a month. And I don't think, from what my mom told me, I don't think anyone in Lafayette covers that, like any of the, like you have to go to like Michigan City to see a doctor under that plan.
That's ridiculous.
And what it means is it's called free health care in terms of it's government-run healthcare where they're going to tell you where you're going to go to get the treatment, if they're even going to pay for it, what they're even going to cover. You're not going to – you just – everyone thinks, that, oh, free college. Yeah. It ain't – nothing's free. And if it is, let me tell you, I'd rather – yeah, you get what you pay for. So if it's free, let me tell you, ain't going to be good. And they're going to tell you what you're going to study, when you're going to go, where you're going to go. And I know I harp on this all the time, but I guess I try to wake people up. And it's just, when you had a guy, this is about 4 days ago, a guy went around with a black shirt that had in gold letters, it said Hillary 2016. And he got several people, only two said this, they didn't know enough about this person to put their name on this piece of paper. And he was, because like when you try to get to be president, you have to go to and get signatures. And if you have enough signatures, then your name can be on the ballot in Indiana. If you got enough signatures, your name can be on the ballot in Florida. And you have to have enough to get your name on the ballots in each state. That's what he's trying to do, to get this person to be able to be on the ticket with Hillary Clinton. And you will be shocked at who he had on the ballot.
Just tell him.
It was Karl Marx, who he was saying that was he was like an economic advisor to
Hillary for years.
For years with Hillary, but he was on the Obama administration. And I'm like, are you talking about the Karl Marx that was born in Prussia on May 5th, 1818, and died on March 14th in 1883, and was best known for writing the Communist Manifesto? I mean, I'm not the smartest man in the world, but if you don't know who Karl Marx is, That is damn scary. At least two people to prove that he's not just trying to shark out and only find people. You know, it's not like he found like 30 people that knew who Karl Marx was. He did find two that one was like, I'm not into that stuff. And someone else was like, I don't know enough about him to say yes or no, so I'm not going to sign it. Everyone else was like signing this thing, putting Karl Marx, who's a dead man, who is a socialist, the father of modern socialism and the writer of the Communist Manifesto, who died in London. Okay. They signed away to, we want him on Hillary's ticket. That is scary. If that doesn't, I don't care if you support Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders or not, that is scary. I mean, what are they teaching our kids?
They're not.
Yeah, or what? They're not teaching our kids. Well, something Glenn Beck said that hit home, and something that my wife talks about a lot. Your teacher is there to help your parents educate you. I'm glad I had parents, because I remember when I was growing up and I had a Halloween costume and I made it myself and I covered it with swastikas, not realizing what they were. My dad flipped out and explained what they were, gave me a history lesson, and he's going to make a new design to put on my outfits. And I learned so much. He goes, you had ancestors on D-Day that played dead for 3 days. Or else they would have been killed by the German army. Okay. I learned. My sister had, when she was in kindergarten, had parent-teacher conferences. I'm supposed to read to my kids? And when they started helping them with their homework and reading with their kid, they started to turn around. I can't believe that. So I'm supposed to actually help my kid out with his homework? Well, hopefully you can help him with his kindergarten homework. If you can't help him spell the word cat or say the alphabet, then you probably shouldn't be a parent. I'm just saying. But it's amazing how many of the... You're the teacher. No, I'm the teacher. I help educate your child. You are the teacher.
Yep.
The parent is the teacher. The teacher in classroom is just there to help facilitate the learning. Because, as you know, you have to have a job. And so, but that's where we're at. And it's just scary that this world is with all these. But then, and I've said this again, I've said it before, but it's not on anymore. But when, 85% of the college kids get their news from Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert? Well, you know, it's never going to change. Of course it's not. If you don't do anything about it, nothing's going to change. Nothing in this world's going to change. If Obama's doing so great, why is everything I'm buying going up through the roof and they get more and more and more expensive? Why is it hard to buy stuff made in America anymore? Oh, it's all un fabrico China. Okay. Okay, China. Yeah. It's amazing. I love the National Geographic Channel, Drugs Inc., which I think is ending this year, and they did one where it's the underground, and they showed, like, counterfeit. And it's crazy because they showed these people where some of these counterfeits are getting so hard to distinguish between them because they're actually, some of them are really trying to find real parts. And I guess one of the big things is there was a guy in New York that would take these, like, $40,000 watches and they would replicate them down to a T, except for they would use like a cubic zirconia and they would hand put in every stone. And this is one that if you looked at it, unless you had like an actual, like a gemologist, like like little like microscope thing, like an eyepiece to look at the stone from a first glance, it looks like a real Cartier. The only thing is it's only about $4,500, not $40,000. And some celebrities will buy it because they don't want to risk losing, you know, or having something stolen. And it's, I mean, and all this stuff is coming out of China and stuff, and it's just scary how much. And they said, this bust that we did, there's like 100,000 watches here, and there's probably about 35 shipments like this that will get by every day. And he goes, unless you're going to a top-notch store, you know, if you're just buying it off the street, who knows, more than likely it's fake nowadays. And it's just, and it's just scary. I mean, that, you know, and they're, well, man, it's so much easy. I can make so much money on this counterfeit stuff. You know, it's like those American Pickers. You know, you don't see people making metal signs anymore. That was just made with cheap, throwaway, recyclable cardboard. You know, as I'm getting back to it, the America I know, I don't know the America I grew up in anymore. Everybody's, you know, everyone's about give me, I want. You know, we need more Wilmington, Ohio's. How can we help each other? How can we help our neighbor? How can we come together? It's just, I don't know. But how do you educate people that are signing up Karl Marx to be in the Hillary campaign? Because we need to get enough signatures to get him on the ballot. That just blows my mind. I was the other night when I saw that, I was just trying to wrap my brains around how. Because all I can think of is when they do that Monty Python skit where they have the game show and they have Lenin and Karl Marx and it's just, you know, and it's just a hilarious thing. No one leaves the show Andy Hampton, so we're going to cut off his hands. And it's just, you know, it was hilarious. But when I had that skit running through my head the whole time. I'm like, how in the heck can they, what? It just makes me want to investigate what they're actually teaching them. What's in a history book?
Not real history.
Yeah. And like I said before, if you got enough money, you can have whatever you want put in a history book. And that's what's scary. And then I know somebody that's like, my boy, one of my favorites, Rush Limbaugh, was having throat issues and he might have lost his throat. Yeah, I wish he would have. I'm like, I don't wish that on anybody. Now, maybe, you know, Chris Matthews.
Rush has lost his hearing.
Yeah. But like, he was having issues with his throat at one time and he almost lost his voice. And I wish he would have. I'm like, well, I don't wish that on Chris Matthews because then I won't have any. Then they'll lose a. I always call MSNBC Comedy Central because some of the stuff they say is just so out there. It's hilarious. But it's scary at the same time. Because it's like they're actually saying this. Oh, wow.
It's nuts.
It's nuts when you have people that are stupid enough to sign up Karl Marx. But that's our future. Those are the people that are, but then you have all these people that are demanding $15 an hour for a job that was designed just to get you enough ability so that you can get a real job. You know, welcome to Burger King. We're going to show you how to wear a uniform, how to show up on time, how to dress a certain way, how to do what you're told. It wasn't meant to support a family of four. I'm sorry. And if that's the only jobs you can find, then you need to say, hey, wait a minute here. What's going on? If you have a college degree and all you can find is McDonald's for work, maybe you need to say something's not right. You know, if you voted Democrat year after year after year and you see how bad Detroit is, maybe you think it's time for a change. I would think so. You know, it's kind of like if you're in a boat and it's sinking and you have a pump and it's pumping out water to keep you afloat and you're sinking, wouldn't you think that, well, maybe that pump ain't big enough. Maybe we need to start the bigger pump. Well, we started with the small one because it takes a lot of fuel. And if this small one can pump enough water out to keep us afloat till we can get back to shore, great. But if you're still sinking and it's not taking enough water out, maybe you think you need to get the bigger pump. If the city you're in's not making it and it's getting bankrupt, don't you think you ought to change things? You know, there's a song from Queenstrike, one of my favorite albums. It's called Operation Mindcrime, and the whole album was like a story. And there's a song called Revolution Calling, and the words come so true, because it's like, who do you trust when everyone's a crook? And it's like, how do you trust? I mean, I love the people that actually stand up and say, you know, how can we trust you, Trump? Because, I mean, every politician out there says one thing and ends up 9 times out of 10, they never do what they say. And I've had people ask Hillary that.
Hillary won't tell the truth about that.
Oh, she won't. But that's the thing with Hillary, though. She is someone that when you give her tough questions, she hates it because she can't answer them. But it's, you know, when you hear that song, Revolution Calling, it's just, they need to play that when, like, Hillary Clinton comes out. Like, who do you trust when everyone's a crook? And that lyric always stays in my head because that's how I've always, okay, well, you know, when I've seen Bill Clinton elected and I've seen this person elected and they didn't do half of what they said, okay, one's a Republican, one's a Democrat, how am I supposed to, I don't, you know, you're going to have to prove your worth. You know? It's one of those things. And it's like, I see a country where it's the government against the people, not for the people. I don't see people, you know, some of those old politicians way back in the day, some of the founders, they were poor. They didn't have. You know, they gave up to serve this country.
They wanted to change it for their kids.
Yeah. You know, my ancestors didn't come to this country to have the same style of government that they left. My ancestors came here to have something better. Don't worry, we'll be like Cuba before you know it. It's only a matter of time before, like I've said, the freedoms that liberals hold dear get taken, you know? But they won't listen. They'll have to find out the hard way. It's like all these people that voted for Obama that made headlines for, you know, their, oh, he's the greatest, you know, I don't have to pay bills, I don't have to do anything. And then you see them like 2 years later, they're like, what a mistake. Yep, but this was after, you know, but the, like when they, if this was before he got reelected, they didn't vote for him a second time, or if it was after, they kept him, you know, but it's too late. But there's another song I want to read the lyrics to, and it's a heavy metal song from a group called Nuclear Assault, and it was a song called Brainwashed, and it rings true to this day, and it's radio in indigenous form, helping shape your thoughts, making you conform. Programming music isn't easy listening, helps you to achieve a moronic grin. Playing you with regurgitated as pap, selling products that are mostly crap. You rarely hear music you want to hear. It's had an effect over all these years. Why don't you think for yourself? Why can't you have your own opinions, your own thoughts? Live in this self-made hell. television, An Idiot Tomb, helps to raise our children as fools. Watch the news. They only want you to see an awareness limited by the network VPs. Moronic sitcoms and one-sided views alter your feelings, give you conformist views. That's all I'm going to read of that song, but it's amazing if you watch like the BBC, how much news that doesn't even make it to the U.S. about other countries, how much they control what they, you know, there is no media anymore. They tell you what you, they're so in bed, they tell you what you want to hear. They're going to tell you what to think. And that's from the 89, that's from 89, 88, 89. And it's, that's why I will watch some ABC News, some MSNBC and Fox, and I'll watch The Blaze, and I'll watch InfoWars, and take everybody and form my own view of what I think is really going on. Because I want to know the truth. I want to know, okay, well, they said this, I can see this being true. I can see that, you know. And it's, some of it's just hard to believe. Like on InfoWars, I want to get into this a little bit, but I've always been influenced by music, and a big influence is, of course, Jerry Garcia, and I love Rush, and one of the guys I loved a lot, and somewhere I have like a huge, like 50 song collection of Merle Haggard. And he was just incredible. And there's rumors going around that he was killed by a super bug, a big virus and all this stuff. And I'm like, don't ruin the man's image. You know, if you've got actual proof.
Well, that doesn't matter. He was elderly.
Yeah.
It's sad.
Yeah, it's sad. Yeah, leave the man. Yeah. And it's like anything to get ratings shot. You know, it's just like these National Enquirers, these newspapers. I don't know who in the heck buys them. I mean, I don't know. But he was incredible. He's an amazing man. Leave him alone. You know, respect the man. If you actually have proof, then okay. Then say, hey, you know, I don't know if there's a way to do it dignified, but I'm 99% sure there's no evidence. It's all about, let me see if I can get ratings. You know, I don't get it, you know, and one thing I love is about a week ago, I think it was, Bill O'Reilly took some time off, and part of his vacay was in Cuba, because he wanted to show the 2% of anyone that, I don't even think 2% would watch his show, that's a Sanders or Hillary Clinton supporter, but he wanted to show them what they're voting for, what they want, what the end result is when the government is the ultimate say and control of everything. And, you know, when you're talking, okay, it's poverty isn't even the word. It's below poverty. You know, if you're in with the government and you're in with Fidel or something, you may have okay. But beyond that, the place is poverty beyond poverty. It's like Detroit times 10 times worse. You think Detroit's bad now. Imagine Detroit 20 times worse. But that's Cuba. When you have someone that controls every single solitary thing, sort of like the coal miners. And, okay, yes, I'm going to get out of it. Yes, I've got enough coal. I'm going to be able to pay off the coal thing or whatever. Okay, Mr. Maguire, damage to the cot, 50 cents. Three cots at only half full of coal. They were full. They were 100% corner. They were only 50%, sir. Okay, your total in bills is $7. Your wages for the week, 25 cents. They had you. They controlled. They knew how much debt you had. They knew how to manipulate it so you could never leave or get out of it. It was like those carnivals where they have the games where they're rigged, where they can manipulate them. There's like a paperclip game, and they have numbers on them. And if you get to 100, you win. And they can, depending on how they hold the clips, they can have a plus or minus sign, and they can manipulate it so you can never win. And they said you can't lose over like $100 or something. And there was somebody that spent like $200 and they never won. And they said, let me see these paper clips. And when you do them right, depending on how you hold them, you can, and you have to get like 100 miles. You go, it's like a vacation. And if you can get the, if you can pull paper clips to get 100 miles, you win. But if you, but depending on how they do the paper clips, they can rig it. And that's what the coal mines did. They can, they knew how much you had, how much you owed the store. They would rig it no matter, you could have 50 carts with 100% coal in it, but they wouldn't say that. Oh, well, there's about 25% of it's actually coal in there. So, you know, you're going to be deducted and this and that. And that's why we have rights for workers. Cuba's not a great place to live, but that's what all these Sanders people are voting for. That's what they want. I want free things. I don't want to have to work. I just want to have it given to me. Well, okay. I don't know. I want to earn what I have. I want to look at a pair of pants and say, you know what, Melissa, see, I sewed these. Because I have a pair of, somewhere I patched a pair of pants. And hopefully they've never, I don't know where they are. They mean the world to me because I made them. I said, well, what I want to do is I want to do like almost like a pair of bell-bottom shorts. Or like the, like the, their shorts were like the short, like the leg part are like really, really wide, just for the heck of it. My wife's shaking at me in the studio. It's like, what the heck? But it was something that I just wanted to do, and they mean the world to me because I made them. You know, there's an old Native American saying that if you build something, a part of you, a part of your spirit belongs in that item. And granted, it's a Chipson. It's a Chinese-made guitar that I got the kit and $140 to make it. It means the world to me. Even with the nicks that I put into it when I drilled the holes to ground the bridge, it means the world to me because I made it. It's not perfect. I think I have to get some fretwork done, which I don't know how to do that, so I'll have to have a professional do it. But it means the world to me because I made it. I did it. No one wants to do anything anymore. Okay, where can I sign up? How can I get free money? Give me, I want. I don't want to work. And I don't get it, you know. I just don't understand. Because, I mean, that's why I love every once in a while. That's why I love. I can turn on the radio and I can hear a DJ complain about whatever, you know, whether it's his Reds losing or the Cubs losing or whatever, you know, the Boilermakers, you know. Speak of the devil, I was at Marsh, and lo and behold, I'm staring at this guy. I'm like, I know this guy. I couldn't think of how I knew him. And I'm walking, getting what I need, and as I'm getting ready to check out, there he is at the checkout. I'm like, I know this guy. And it was Daryl Hazel, the Purdue football coach. And so I'm like, oh, that's how I know. He's probably thinking I'm weird because I'm like trying to figure out who he is. But, you know, but it's just nice to be able to turn on the radio and hear a DJ once in a while. And, you know, it's like I do stuff at Salem Bank, and they have an automated teller now where when you go into the bank, they have like a big branch location where they have a bunch of tellers that when you hit like the ATM machine, it brings up a live teller and you talk to her, and it's safer, so it's less likely to get robbed and stuff. And I like it because it's using technology, but you're still keeping people employed. I worked at a video store. Now you just go to a Redbox and you do everything automated and you swipe your card, and I got paid to do that. I got paid to check out people. You know, there's so many jobs out there that were that are not now. You got about 19, minutes and 30 seconds left in the program. And I want to thank everyone that tunes in every week. It means the world to me because I don't get paid to do this. I actually pay to have the Blog Talk subscription I do and to do this. And I do it out of the fact that I want to try to give back and try to educate people, to wake people up. Say, hey, I don't care what you believe. I don't care what you stand for. And I say this a million times. Just know what you know your history. Know what you stand. Know what people stand for. Don't take anything I say for a grain of salt. Look it up. Make your own opinion. You know, look at all the different networks and watch and see. Like when Paris attacks happened, I put on MSNBC because I wanted to know what they were saying. How they were they spinning it? Were they calling it what it really was? What were they really saying about it? All the while, I was trying to get a hold of my buddy in Paris to make sure he was still alive and not hurt or, you know, so. Enough about that, folks. You know, it's just, I don't know. I just try to wake people up, I guess. You know, and it's just something I've always been a political type nerd. I've always been fascinated by how this government works and how this country works. And, you know, my answer, I don't want to see this country fall because we didn't do anything. You know, our ancestors didn't come to this country to, I don't remember any of my grandparents are coming here saying, you know what, we need to get this, we need to get like a copy of the Russian or Polish, you know, constitution. And let, okay, how do they do their health care over there? Because we need to have it here. We need to have government everything. No, when this country was being founded, they said, no, we don't want to have that. We want to build this hospital ourselves. We don't want to fund it by the government. Let's go around and collect money from everyone to build the hospital. We need to come back and come together. And that's why I do what I do. To hopefully, I'm only one person, but so is Jesus. He did so much and he was one man and I'm only one man, but you know, I just want to leave this world a better place for the next generation than it was given. You know, right now, the generation that comes up behind me is going to have it worse than I do. Than I grew up, and
For my Molly, it breaks my heart.
Yeah, for my niece, it breaks my heart to see that this place may be worse off. You know, because if we become a Bernie Sanders type country, where do the people go trying to escape that life and want to come here and do things legally? You know, immigration is not about race. It's about rules. Okay, why should you be given citizenship for border jumping when he is trying to go through the proper channels to become a legal citizen? Put that in your pipe and smoke it. Oh, well, Trump, he wants to build up. He's racist. Okay, because he wants to control the amount of people that just come across the border. And how can you prove to me that people going across the border are only Mexicans, that there's no terrorist or anyone else coming through? You can't. Bottom line. You know? And only if Bill O'Reilly can get some of those liberals to see Cuba. They need to take some of those Bernie Sanders supporters and take them over to get them the access they need to go over to see Pyongyang, North Korea, and see how they live. Oh, we had 10,000 people in here, the hospital, but they're all gone now. There was never, I'd put $1 million bet there was never anyone in that hospital. Oh, but they'll tell you that. These people are like drones. Bernie Sanders, he's great. Yes. Yes, everything's going to be free. Everything, you know, it's like I feel, I mean, I swear, and I've said this before, when they were chanting like, Obama, Obama, I literally am like, I just like, well, where's the statue? Where's, you know, I mean, they could have been saying Kim Jong-un, you know, pretty soon. I'm like, what are they going to do? Have like a statue where you have to go up to it and you're going to have to bow a certain way and put flowers down there for the dear leader? That's how I felt the way they acted with Obama. Now, I would bow down and put flowers in front of Jesus. I'd put palms down or something because he is who I worship. But you would swear they were acting like, guess what, folks? Like he's like a Hitler or a dictator. They didn't, you know, I've never seen Bill Clinton treated like that. I never saw a Bush treated like, even Reagan, I don't really remember being treated like that.
No. Reagan might be treated that way.
No. Like I was talked about a little bit earlier, what they need to do is I'm going to start this campaign and hopefully it gets going. We're going to start telling people that common sense and your brain is an app and maybe people will start using it. You know, seriously, because common sense waved bye-bye to some of these people a long time ago. And that's sad, but anywho, you know, common sense, it's the new app and it gets updated daily. If you wake up, guess what, folks? The app works. Your brain, you can update it too. Just take like the library and go there or the internet and read and learn. That's why I love the history. I'm always fascinated about learning about new stuff. I don't care what it is. I guess like when it comes to music, I was always, hey, this guy is amazing. I may not listen to that type of music, but I respect his talent with if he's got an accordion or something. You know? You know, and that's how it is. There's about 11 minutes left in the program, 11 minutes, 40 seconds, and it's just incredible, you know? And if we can get people to use their brain and their common sense like an app, wow, man. You know, I'm glad I grew up when you had to talk to people. And, you know, and you'd sit around playing music.
And you hated to answer the phone. You didn't rush to answer it.
Yep. That's how it is, folks. You know, now it's people sitting next to each other that don't even talk. That's scary. And for all you wonderful, wonderful fans out there, this week started the MLB season.
Woohoo!
Yes, and I got my MLB extra innings, and I pray that there's no blackouts, but that's no guarantee. There'll probably be one, which, hey. But I think it's going to be a good season. You know, I think the Cubs are, what are they now? Like on 100 and some years of rebuilding, and this is their year. This is their year. I've not seen one year where they have not had someone write that this is the Cubs' year where they're going to win.
Leave the Cubs alone.
I have nothing against the Cubs. They're the lovable losers. But I do say this,
no,
though.
No, that's the Tigers.
No, the Cubs are called the lovable losers. But I want to say this, though, about the Cubs. I do believe in that GOAT curse. And I think until they get a new stadium, I don't think they'll. But then I don't know if the Cubs would ever leave Wrigley.
The GOAT curse, really?
Yeah. It's about the guy that tried to bring his GOAT. I believe it. And he said, okay, if he can't come in, he put a curse on the stadium. And the one year, I think it was 89, when they went really, really, really far, that year, like an ancestor, the GOAT was let in. Whether you believe it or not, I mean, well, I'm just saying, they haven't won since. I have nothing against the Cubs. I'm just saying, you know. Every year they always have somebody that touts that this is their year. They're going to win it all. But, you know, hey, well, at least they're not the Tigers that have to get like a 20-run lead because they'll blow it in the ninth inning if they don't. As my wife laughs, but that's the truth. Okay. He's throwing 5 no-hitters. Okay, we got to get rid of him. He's too good. We need to sell him. You know, but Verlander looked really good. And I'm sorry, but they will always be to me the Florida Marlins. I don't care. I will always call. I will always refer to them as the Florida Marlins, not this Miami Marlins crap. I don't know. You know, I'm just old school. They were always the. They started out as the Florida Marlins. They will stay that way for me. Anyway, we started out last year. If you know us, a Tigers fan, we won like 9 straight. And be tanked. So, you know, as long as we can get into the postseason,
as long as no one gets hurt, we'll be fine.
Yeah, as long as we don't have injuries, I think we'll be fine. You know? And enough said about that, because you know, I just don't want to see anyone get hurt, but... It goes back to my NASCAR rant about, okay, what's more valuable? If you lead 199 laps of a 200-lap race, should the person that leads the last lap and wins the race get more points because he wins the race? But I led all but one lap. He led one.
But that's the most important one.
That's why I think you should have, if you get like 50 points for leading the race. For winning the race, you get 50 points. And you get like bonus points for the laps you lead. If you lead one lap, you only get 50 points. If you lead 30 laps, you get, let's say, like 5 more points. If you lead like for every like 25 laps you lead, you get like 5 points. That way it makes it, going back to baseball, if you were to take, you know, if you get into the postseason, hey, they had a better record, but they ended up losing in the postseason. Well, we went further in the postseason. We had a worse record. So, you know, people are so instantaneous about everything. They want it right now, and baseball is not that instantaneous of a thing. You know, it takes time. And, you know, it's a sport that was developed a long, long, long time ago, and it's surprising that it has the following it does, because it's not. I mean, I don't know if baseball, a sport like that, could be invented now, because people want to see like stuff happening like right now. You know, they want to. You know, that's why I like football, because you're like, and soccer is so big because they're always moving. Even if someone gets hurt, unless it's a severe emergency and they kick the ball out, they still play. If he falls down and, let's say, hits the funny bone in his knee, you know, they keep it going. It's constant. Where baseball, you know, okay, there's not much activity except for when the guy pitches and he's, you know, and it's in a different era, I think. Because I don't know if a game like baseball would be created in a today world where everything is like, now. So, it's just, I don't know, it's amazing that a sport from a bygone era is still so popular. And I just love it. I think it's just amazing, you know. It's just cool. It's just great sport. And as we move on into the English Premier League, and as Manchester United has 53 points and they're in 5th place. And as you all know, we need to have a 4th place or better finish to get into the UEFA Champions League. And it's a real possibility, but I mean, we won't be able to get to Leicester City. If Leicester City loses every game and we win every game, I still think we wouldn't get to but like second place maybe. But, I mean, it's not bad. I think a fourth place finish or better is doable so we can get in the UEFA Champions League. But, I mean, just to see Leicester City with 69 points in first place and potentially getting their first championship and their first title in the Premier League, that'll be more to me than anything, because that's just – because, yeah, I'm a huge Manchester United fan, but to see a club like that do what they've done all year long, that's what it's all about. I mean, Jimmy Johnson can always win a race. Jeff Gordon could always win a race. So could Dale Jr. But when you have, like, a Trevor Bayne win, that's when it's exciting. Like the one Daytona 500, like, 4 years ago now, I think. I was at my sister's in Michigan, and I'm like, I don't know who's going to win this race, but it's going to be someone you're not going to expect. It's going to be a dark horse. And Don goes, you were right. I didn't say who would win. I just said it would be someone you'd never expect, and Trevor Bayne won the race. And it's just exciting to see the underdog, you know. Anyone with the millions of dollars and all the big backing can do it. But when you have the small club like Leicester City and all they've done, and they're in they got 69 points in first place, it's just incredible, you know. We need to see them doing this next year and being this successful. Because who would ever have thought that Chelsea would tank and Jose Mourinho would be let go and all that? I never would have thought that. And even my buddy that's a huge Chelsea supporter, he gave me crap all last year because they were blowing Manchester out of the water. I'm like, hey, you got a great team. You got a great manager. So, got about 2 minutes, 10 seconds left. And I want to thank you all again for tuning in. And it's just, what's funny, I don't know if anyone else has this complex when, okay, if I ever have a Sunday off and you got a Tigers game going on at the same time as a Manchester United game, and then you got an IndyCar race and NASCAR race almost at the same time. And there's times where even maybe for like a half an hour, all four are going on at once. It's like, okay, what do I watch? Usually, yeah. I'll record like one of the races usually, and you know, and then when the Manchester's over, then I'll go back and forth. It used to be not that big because I couldn't see the Tigers for a while, you know, so now I got the extra innings, I can watch the games. And I kind of wish you could get like the...
Yeah, we watch that because we pay for that.
Yeah, but I wish that you could see like the post-game stuff, but all you basically get is the ability to see the game on the channel. It comes on then like Fox Sports Detroit, and then it shuts it off. So, but got about a minute left in the program, folks. And I want to thank you all for tuning in. And Thursday. And I want to thank you all. It's just, I do this out of my own heart. You know, the stuff I look into and investigate and stuff, It's all from me. I don't have sponsors or donors. That's why you get an hour of me talking. And I say some things more than once, you know, or repeat stuff during the weeks. But I just hope that you take what I have and go with it. You know, listen to the scripture reading every day and that I give you and take it, you know. Be the spark of a flame, you know. Somebody may not be in the right mood, and you might be that one person that can help them. Until next week, I want to thank you all for tuning in. Good night, and from the conversation, God bless you all, and goodbye.